Stacy, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to be with you guys. You know, you're right, Molly. It is a bruiser of a division, and I'm a little torn today because I'm actually flying to London for back-to-back weeks, and I didn't know if I wanted to do this with you guys from London or here. I think London is always better because we talk about tea. So,
oh yeah,
we can do that again. Tea and crumpets.
If a man definitely. Is bored of London, he's bored of life. Yeah. I've been told.
You can't be bored of London. I'll be there for 2 weeks, and I actually have the Vikings again this week. And, you know, I did see some progress from Chicago. I actually, you know, I had the Packers and Vikings on Sunday, as you alluded to, but went back, and I always like to go back and watch the game in order to talk about it, and mm-hmm. I saw a lot of progress from Caleb Williams. And, you know, if you're Bears fans, you have to be encouraged by, you know, two home victories this season, albeit the teams they faced.
Stacey, I want to get to all your Bears thoughts and insight, but I also want to get to one of the biggest stories in the league this morning because of your familiarity and relationship with Devontae Adams, former Packer, now Raider, on the uh-huh. trade block, requested a trade reportedly. The Jets might be interested. You wonder about the Chiefs getting involved. What about the Pittsburgh Steelers? What do you think of that situation, and where do you think he is headed?
You know, I'm not surprised. I have not seen a very content Devontae Adams. He is my favorite receiver that I've ever covered in the NFL. He is an absolute delight. It's going to be fascinating, David, where he lands. My initial thought was Kansas City Chiefs. Can you imagine Patrick Mahomes? Like, given all the injuries they have been decimated from their running backs to their receivers. I mean, Pacheco and Rice. And I just think that if Brett Veach could somehow establish that kind of a deal to get Devontae in there to play with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, they could be, you know, the sky is the limit. I mean, it already is with him, but it just would be unreal. And then, of course, with the Jets, you know, he and Devontae are just so close, like he being Aaron Rodgers. And we knew that. But, you know, his success as a young player in the NFL was Aaron Rodgers demanding from him. And I just think, you know, I'll see the Jets this week. I'll be in production meetings with them and coming off a big loss. Maybe they rattle and shake some things up there in New York with somebody, a player of this magnitude. We'll see.
It's amazing because Rodgers talked this week about his cadence, and he made a point of saying that he got the cadence from the great player that was there before him. And mm-hmm. that he has worked on it and added to it. You just don't hear him talk much about Favre and their connection. And it was just interesting to hear him acknowledge where that began, how he developed it, and the fact that it can't possibly be any kind of a problem because it's been working for that long.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Molly. And, you know, whatever you think, like, you know, about players historically, you game respects game. You know, we were there with our crew. We watched Jordan Love walk in with a Brett Favre jersey. What a sign! And as obviously we know, you know, of his Parkinson's diagnosis that he has recently shared. And you know, it doesn't go without saying, by the way, David, I've been thinking about you all week. With such care and prayer work. But I just think that, you know, that's a special organization in terms of how they developed quarterbacks. And, Brett Favre was a master at certain things, and Aaron Rodgers picks up on things, and Jordan Love picks up on things. And that's what makes what's happening in Chicago so exciting. But when you think about the greats, like Aaron Rodgers, like it's impressive to watch. I think he is a draw, and he'll be a draw for us in London this weekend.
Thank you, Stacey. And talking about the Bears, let's look at Sunday against the Panthers and the growth that Caleb Williams has shown throughout the first four games of the season. I think what you saw last Sunday was a quarterback getting more comfortable playing within himself and not trying to force the issue, which I think is not necessarily great for his stat sheet, but is good for the football team. What did you see in watching the way Caleb handled himself against the Rams?
What I wanted to see is take the checkdowns. Make the checkdowns. The deep game isn't there yet. You know, I was very recently talking with a coach that was on the staff of the Panthers, speaking of the aforementioned Panthers, last season with Bryce Young as a rookie. And we, now we understand, obviously, what has transpired there with Andy Dalton. It is almost impossible to, when you have a rookie quarterback who has to start right away, it's impossible. It's an impossible situation. Like, I was also just covering the Minnesota Vikings, and what a blessing in disguise it has been for them to, you know, you never want an injury, obviously, but for the way things transpired with Minnesota, with J.J. McCarthy getting injured and having the surgery and them saying, let's just let him develop. And Sam Darnold now, this little, you know, monster peeking over him on his back is gone. Monster, and, you know, just the idea of, like, him, you know, potentially, like, well, I was at training camp in Minnesota. If he has two bad games, how quickly are they going to play J.J. McCarthy? Like, there was this little creeping thing, and it's just, they have such a fresh, like, light in their locker room and on their team, within their offense. They are so, in, like, everything about what they're doing is they get to have their, what they see as their future franchise quarterback, ultimately in McCarthy, sit like Patrick Mahomes sat and watch this thing now develop with Sam Darnold, who's a really smart player, and he's finally being coached the way he needs to be. My point being, like, you can't have these grandiose expectations of a perfect pass, deep pass game, and, you know, all of the struggles that rookie quarterbacks go through. Like I said to one of the Vikings coaches, like, how, you know, that was there in Carolina, like, how hard was that? And, you know, the idea that you have to have a run game, the first thing that came out of his mouth was, like, C.J. Stroud had a run game his rookie season. So what did we just see with the Bears? They had a season high in rush yards. 131 on the ground is their best this year, and it took a lot of pressure off the rookie quarterback. You, as I was told, it's very simple. You have to have a ground game as a rookie quarterback because the game is just so fast. And if you don't have it, now you're really behind the eight ball. And that's, you're playing from behind, you're playing behind the sticks, like all those terminologies and jargon and this and that, like that's a problem. And so we saw it change a little bit this past weekend with Chicago.
It's fascinating to look at the fact that the Bears have managed a field goal in the first quarters of the games they've played. They obviously, mm-hmm. they have only scored 3 points. They managed a field goal. You look at Minnesota, for instance. They lead the NFL. I think they've had 4 plays where they haven't been leading in the game. They're holding. They have a lead 85% of the game, which is just the most bizarre statistic ever. The Bears are third from worst in terms of time of possession with the lead.
Well, it's the numbers that you just threw out there, Molly. I mean, it's nuts, right? Like, but in the locker room after the game, I was talking to Minnesota's left tackle, Christian Darrisaw. Pretty good left tackle. Yeah. They have a really good really good, right? They have a really good offensive line. By the way, he's towering. He's so big. And I said, just what is Sam Darnold like in the huddle at the line of scrimmage? Because what I saw, they were up 28-0. We were all in the press box in Green Bay. Like, what? To your point, Molly, they came out and they come out and score. And he just looked at me and he said, elite. He is elite. And as I talked to coaches on the sideline about Sam Darnold, what he has that, you know, like, for instance, J.J. McCarthy doesn't, he is so pinpoint, narrowly focused on what he needs to do to get the job done because of the experience he's had. He knows what he hated. He knows what he loves. He expresses that to his head coach and play caller and Kevin O'Connell, who you guys know is an outstanding coach and play caller. And it's a very deliberate offense, I would say. He's got really good players, by the way. I mean, Jordan Addison's really good. this is nothing that can't be achieved with time. And I think Caleb Williams, like, I kind of giggle about all the, you know, Jaden Daniels conversation and Caleb Williams, who should they have taken? Like, I know a lot of people in the league that were in love with Jaden, and I know a lot of people in the league that were in love with Caleb. And it's okay. Two things can be true. Both guys can be really good. But you have to look at, like, I don't know if you guys agree, but do we agree that the Bears love DeAndre Swift? Like, they're obsessed with him. I mean, he led them in targets. He led them in rushing attempts. It's very clear to me that this regime wanted him, and they want him to succeed. We'll see how things play out. He's a really good player. He's a little bit more, I would say, of a finesse back, but he might argue that. I think he's a really good football player, but they obviously made him a focal point of their offense this past week. We'll see how that kind of develops. I think Cole Kmet is a really good tight end. I have appreciated seeing him get more targets. Like, I think you have to put these guys in positions to succeed, because that's, to me, the Bears, like, kind of have who they like. I mean, Rome Odunze is going to be really good with Caleb Williams. And it's just going to be a matter of time, in my mind, to where can this run game be consistent and can they sustain yards on the ground in order to be effective? And they have an opportunity this week because the Panthers defensively, they haven't been fantastic.
This segment, Stacey Dales, is brought to you by McGrath Acura in Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath. Stacey, you know Shane Waldron, and last week was a tough one for him because he was called out publicly, essentially, and then they responded with a pretty good, smart game plan, stubbornly sticking to the running game and using a center in the backfield. Good week for Shane Waldron overall, but do you think, and when you look at it and you take a step back, was it good or bad overall for his reputation?
I don't think it was bad. I think that I don't know if it was good. I don't think it was bad. I don't know if that answers the question.
Do you have more confidence in him after last week or less?
Yeah, because he adjusted. I mean, he adjusted. I mean, when I was standing there talking with, because I was with two NFC North teams, and we saw what Detroit did, right? And we saw Jared Goff, and we saw, there's some holes still with Detroit's defense, I think. But I'm with the Vikings and Packers, and we're talking about the Bears. I'm standing with coaches talking about the Bears. And there's a couple things I know to be true that they believe in the division, that the Bears' defense is incredible. That is a known fact. And with Shane Waldron, they're going through some lumps, and it's a rookie quarterback. And that's, they're going to, like, conversations I had, they're going to figure it out. Nobody's, it's too early in the season to think it's bad for his reputation. I think he adjusted. I think that, that the shocking thing that, like, when you watch people's faces, the fact that he threw it 52 times and went into last week, fellas, leading the NFL. Think about this, leading the NFL in pass attempts. I talked to a coach on the Viking staff, and we both almost said it in unison. And it was like his eyes popped out of his head. Like, he couldn't believe that that was what was happening. But so I say that just because, like, those are conversations that I've had, but he adjusted, Shane did this week. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that, you know, they were able to find a run game and allow Caleb to just hit those checkdowns, because eventually the three-pointer is going to be open and he's going to hit it.
Yeah, we have a breaking thing here from Adam Schefter. He just says that the two teams that are high on Davante Adams' wish list are the two quarterbacks he's played with before, Aaron Rodgers and the Saints with Derek Carr. Isn't that predictable as much as anything
else? No surprise
else?
There.
No, that's hilarious.
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
You know, Derek is a wide receiver-friendly quarterback.
Yep.
You talk to any receiver who plays with him, he wants to feed the beast. And the other guy, you guys know.
And you're going to see soon. Have a safe trip, Stacey.
Have a great time in London.
Thank you, guys. It's great to be with you. And again, David, my heart is so big for you.
Thanks, Stacey. Appreciate it.
Bless you, Stacey. Great stuff.